Is Trophy Room still relevant in sneakers, or is it played out? We'll get into that this time on Fire Footwear. Welcome to Fire Footwear, everybody. As always, this is your host, Matt Freights, and I want to say thank you for multiple reasons. The first reason, of course, is that if you are finding the show, whether you're new or old, I want to thank you. And also, if you're somebody who has been listening for a while, I want to say thank you for the mere reason that you allow me to be human on this podcast. And life has been very difficult for me in the month of March. I haven't come out with an episode since March 1st. And we're looking at 2 weeks without content or 3 weeks between content. And that's pretty unusual for me. I think that's only happened once. And I've been sick. My family has been going through some things. And so we, the Matty Ice household, have been trying to navigate some storms and navigate some not so pleasant weather. And I've had some people reach out to ask what's going on, make sure everything is okay. And that means that I've created a community. And I'm very, very proud of that. And I'm very, very happy to be able to still be doing this, but also be given the grace to be human in all of this. And we talked about at the top of the episode about Trophy Room. And I want to come back with that because it obviously is getting a shine now with the release of the Jordan 1 Low. I think it's like the black toe colorway, and there's a lot of talk about it. Jordan brand collaborations with well-known boutiques is pretty commonplace today. It's obviously happened a lot. It wasn't always this way. But if you think about all the collaborations with Undefeated, with Ama Manier, and so forth, there have been plenty of boutique collaborations within sneaker culture, and it's really something that we come to expect every single year. Trophy Room is interesting because since its inception in 2016, it has become one of the more anticipated Jordan collabs within the culture. If you go back at all of the history behind Trophy Room, it's no secret as to why people anticipate it. Marcus Jordan, who is the creator of Trophy Room, is the son of Michael Jordan. And really, whenever you have a very, very well-respected athlete, whether it's Michael Jordan, whether it's LeBron, perhaps Otani's kids will go through this, we, the fans, always seem to heap these high expectations on these children because of the success of the father. And in this case, Marcus Jordan had his own basketball life, was never going to live up to the lofty expectations that we, society, put on him based off of his dad. And so while he was a fine player in his own right, he decided to harness the greatness and expectations of his dad into another realm, and that realm was sneakers. And so in 2016, he opened up Trophy Room. It can be argued today that sneaker culture was created in the shadow of Michael Jordan's greatness on court. I don't think that's any secret. In the span of the prime years of his career, from 1984 to 1998, Michael Jordan and the Air Jordan line of sneakers became a public phenomenon. They became a staple within pop culture. Everybody knew who Michael Jordan was, and Air Jordans became synonymous with being cool in a lot of ways. Many of the origin stories that people tell about how they got into sneakers have a lot to do with getting my first pair of Jordans and being able to go to school. A lot of people have those stories. And while not everybody came up from a poor upbringing and Jordans represented them being able to get something that was coveted that they couldn't have, for a lot of people it had to do with fitting into a portion of society that maybe they didn't feel like they fit in with before. And even after Michael Jordan retired, sneaker culture continued to build and had what felt like a direct connection with Michael via the Air Jordan line. And so after 1998, when he retired, obviously he came back with the Wizards at one point, I think it was in 2001, people of a certain age felt a connection to Michael Jordan, and many people felt that connection through that sneaker line because every single sneaker that came out in the Air Jordan line from 1, I believe, to 14 had some connection to a playing moment for Michael Jordan. When you fast forward to 2016, which is the year Trophy Room opened, sneaker culture had grown to this massive place in pop culture. If you think about items in pop culture that have a massive impact on people from all walks of life and all generations, you could argue that sneaker culture today in 2024 has more of an impact than just about anything else that's not named social media. Now, all of this stuff kind of blends together when it comes to pop culture. But in 2016, we were headed toward the place that we are today in sneakers. And that's important when we talk about something a little bit later. But the original core base for sneaker culture was beginning to age in 2016. That's just a fact. I was in my 30s at that point. So imagine people who'd gotten into the game earlier. I was born in 1983. The Air Jordan 1 came out in 1984, so obviously you have a large volume of people who were 10 years old when that came out, 12 years old. So now they're in their 40s. So I'm on the younger side, but I'm still aging in this demographic. Resale culture was also becoming synonymous with sneaker culture. And the new blood that was coming into sneaker culture, and we've talked about this before, they really didn't have that connection to Michael Jordan because they didn't see him play. And some of them weren't even alive when this all was happening. So that connection point becomes a little bit blurred. And for me, I watched Michael Jordan as a kid win NBA championships. I'll always remember that. I'll always have those memories. And for some other people, they were adults when that happened. But if you weren't born to watch Michael Jordan play, your lens and your prism is just a little bit different in how you look at Air Jordans and how you look at the NBA in general. So the idea of Trophy Room was to take everything that this original core base of sneakers beloved, and that was everything related to Michael Jordan, and highlight it in a sneaker boutique by making this boutique pay homage to Michael Jordan's trophy room that he had in his home. And that trophy room is obviously this lavish room that highlights everything that Michael Jordan ever did. From what I understand, it is incredible. It's almost museum-like. And Trophy Room tried to traffic in that nostalgia. Marcus Jordan being Michael Jordan's son, obviously he has direct access to Michael Jordan being his father. And so, of course, when he makes a sneaker boutique, there are going to be collaborations with Jordan Brand. And the interesting part about Trophy Room's collaborations compared to other boutiques, let's say Union or let's say Undefeated, is Trophy Room's collaborations really were striking in this unique space that other collaborators didn't. A lot of the other boutiques are creating Air Jordan collabs in their own image, whereas they're trying to take what their shop is all about, what their business is all about, and make it artistically seen in a sneaker. Trophy Room and Marcus Jordan were trying to take all of the nostalgia and all of the accolades of Michael Jordan and tell that story in a sneaker. And that's something that nobody else can do but Marcus Jordan. And he's been able to do that very successfully a lot of times. And of course, all of these things are paying homage to something that the newer and newer sneakerhead is forgetting about. And so this is interesting because these collaborations, especially the early ones, went deep into the archive of what would be considered popular Jordan models. I'll give you an example. So to commemorate the opening of the store, there was a Jordan 23 collaboration that Trophy Room participated and designed. And that's funny because the 23 is a model that you never hear about. Have we ever mentioned the Jordan 23 on this pod? No, we haven't. Because there is a line of Jordans past, I believe the 14, where many people just forget about them. There were small hits here or there. The 23 obviously has some meaning because of the fact that it's 23. That was Michael Jordan's number. But this first collaboration comes out in a white and a black colorway. And the first thing you notice is that they are exclusive. The white colorway, which is identical to the black colorway, is a little bit more exclusive. There are 523 pairs, and that pays homage to Marcus Jordan's number 5, Michael Jordan's number 23. Combine those, and that's where you get that. The black colorway was limited to 5,000 pairs. They were all individually numbered. And this shoe had nods to Michael, like his signature, his initials. Little homages throughout the shoe and a premium look to this shoe that made it very unique and, more importantly, very unique to Trophy Room and the stories that they were trying to tell. Later that year, they again went an unconventional route and there was a Jordan Reveal colorway, another model that we've never talked about on this podcast. And it's rarely talked about when you talk about Trophy Room because it's such a deep cut. Nobody really remembers the Jordan Reveal. I'm sure some people who are listening to this do remember that. But that collaboration, again, was to commemorate 3 months in business, and it's just really long forgotten. The next two collaborations continued to roll back the clock to models outside of what I consider the main timeline of Jordans, and that was the 16 and the 17. And while each of these had their moment in the sun, and there are people who have nostalgic pulls when it comes to the 16 and 17, you don't see these retro too often, if ever, and these are also models that being outside of the playing career allowed them to fade a little bit in the minds of sneaker culture. It's just a fact. I mean, if you go out on the street and start asking people about Jordan 16s and 17s, how many people are really going to know about them because you don't see them too often? Nike and Jordan Brand is trying to go back into the well now with some of these releases and retros that they're coming out with. But at this time, the 16 and the 17 were really looking at the number 16, the year 2016, obviously 17, thinking about them being in business. That's really what it's commemorating there. And so at this point, they're still going back in this deep cut archive and telling a story and paying homage to Michael Jordan, the man and the player. And in 2019, I feel like was a turning point for Trophy Room. And that was when they started to traffic in Jordan models that are considered some of the most popular of all time and that sneaker culture far and wide beloved. And we're talking about the Jordan 5 collaboration, that it trafficked in an era of some of the most popular Jordan models. But here's the thing about this Jordan collaboration. This, in my opinion, was the first Trophy Room collaboration that resale culture really stuck to. The Trophy Room Jordan 5 paid direct homage to the actual Trophy Room itself. It was a smash hit, instant classic, whatever platitudes you want to put on it. Translucent outsole showing the hardwood floor of a basketball court, which I believe is in the Trophy Room. It was an extremely limited run again. Personalized numbering, Carolina blue, hits of red, the number 5, the number 23. The packaging was pristine. Everything that came with it, it was a premium buying experience for the consumer. And it also, when it comes to Trophy Room, as far as I know, introduced the first friends and family model. And this is where things start to change, because obviously adding a friends and family model gets you to a different place than anybody else. And that is where you not only get exclusive with the release that's happening with the Jordan 5, but now you have the exclusive of the exclusive. And by the time we are here in 2019, resale culture is ridiculous. Rep culture is starting to emerge as this major player in the market. And so now when you tag exclusivity on these shoes, people are going to take off with it. And that Jordan 5 did everything right. As a standalone release, it was nearly perfect, and it just changed a lot of things. What was once a means to highlight Michael Jordan's playing career seemed to start to get lost after this moment, and I'm directly pinning this on Marcus Jordan, obviously, as the main idea person and the main impetus for Trophy Room and all these collaborations. He has a direct line to Michael Jordan himself. But what we see now is that it seems as if Trophy Room is trying to traffic in shoes and colorways that seem to get to the worst parts of sneaker culture. And what do I mean? The next collaboration that came out after the Jordan 5 was a Jordan 1 Chicago collab for Trophy Room. The Jordan 1 Chicago is one of the most recognizable and probably god-tier Jordan 1s or Jordan models ever. Everybody knows what it is. Everybody now, because of the movie Air, knows who's behind it, what the story is. Everybody's an expert on this shoe. At some point in time, Marcus Jordan was going to dip into that pond. I know that for a fact. But what happened with this shoe is the story was interesting, being iced out of the All-Star game. Again, lots of nods to Michael Jordan's playing career, going way back in the archives to tell a story that many people, younger people, might not know today. But what happened with this shoe is before it ever released, the resale price was ridiculous. And what we know now is that there were a lot of rumors and whispers of backdooring by Trophy Room. And for those of you who don't know what backdooring is, it's essentially you have someone on the inside that you know who can get you early pairs. And a lot of times it's associated with people wanting an early pair not to wear it, but to flip it for a massive, massive profit. And we, the sneaker community, just have to understand that this stuff happens. It's sort of built into the game that we call sneakers. However, with Marcus Jordan, it seems very disappointing because this is somebody who doesn't have to resort to those kinds of things. The story that they're telling is supposedly different than just making money. But now it seems like, is Marcus Jordan about the stories of Michael Jordan, or is he about himself? Is he about just telling these stories? And that's something that came to my attention with the Jordan 1 Chicago freeze out. I wasn't a huge fan of the execution of the shoe. I certainly understand the story as an artistic piece, but as something to wear, I just don't think it's something that I could pull off. A lot of people liked it, but the controversy surrounding it really started to percolate. And the next collaborations, I think there was a Jordan 7, which was the Barcelona. Obviously, that's steeped in the history of winning the gold medal with the Dream Team. And again, that's a model that is in that pantheon of 1 through 14, but admittedly, it's probably in the lower part or lower tier of what people associate, but there is a large portion of sneaker culture that really loves that model. And so again, you have a high resale price because people now associate Trophy Room with exclusivity and they associate Trophy Room with profits. And I think the Jordan 1 really changed that. So fast forward to today, and right now as we are recording this, the Jordan 1 Low Black Toe Trophy Room is coming out and it is paying homage to Michael Jordan's rookie card. I'm not a card collector. Obviously, card collecting is getting big. Again, I was a baseball card guy, never an NBA guy. And paying homage to a rookie card sounds fine to me. It also sounds like it's a little bit lazy. It also sounds like it's a little bit easy. And this Jordan 1, while maybe fine aesthetically and looks good, they probably put premium materials on it. The execution of it was not lazy. That's not what I'm claiming. But I'm starting to wonder if now Trophy Room is just doing the easiest thing. And they're doing what they know is going to sell shoes. Not about storytelling, not about paying homage to his dad, but really it's about Marcus Jordan now. And it seems like via the campaign that he put out there about wearing your kicks, when you're talking to and about a shoe and now a boutique that traffics in resale, those people don't wear their kicks, or a lot of those people don't wear their kicks. It's not about sneakers anymore. And I wonder if Trophy Room has sort of fallen into that trap. A lot of the other boutiques like Union, for example, or Ama Manier, to me, I don't think that they're falling into that trap. I think oversaturation is a big problem with Ama Manier, but that's a different story entirely. Trophy Room is not releasing collaborations every year. They have a finite shelf when it comes to what they have actually done in sneaker culture. And to me, Marcus Jordan has a responsibility to tell the right stories, not just for the people that want to flip these shoes, but to tell it for himself and to tell it for his dad and to keep the history alive. We've talked many times, and many sneaker content creators will talk about how do we keep sneakers alive in the next generation. And it's up to us. And it's up to people like Marcus Jordan who have the ability to tell these very, very unique stories. Again, Trophy Room is not about highlighting Trophy Room the store. It's about highlighting a real Trophy Room that is about Michael Jordan's career. He's the reason why we're listening to this podcast. If the Air Jordan does not get invented, Fire Footwear does not exist. And so it disappoints me. I'm not saying again that it's a bad shoe. I'm not saying that Trophy Room is purely out for themselves and purely out for profit. But if you look at the behaviors and how they have changed based off of going back in the archive, creating sneakers and using models that a lot of people don't traffic in, a lot of people don't know, now they're going for the low-hanging fruit. And I can't help myself but think it's got to be about profits and it's got to be about hype. I can't tell you for sure. It's speculative, but this is a podcast where I give my opinion, and that's my opinion. Release of the week, where I like to highlight a shoe every week that catches my eye. It's not always hype, rarely is it. It's just something that I want you to know about. And this shoe that I'm going to highlight will have released by the time this episode comes out, and it is the Nike Dunk Low Plum. It releases on March 21 for $115 on the sneakers app. I know it's going to make a lot of people groan. It was one of the ugly duckling dunks. The colorway is really celebrated amongst dunks released in the early 2000s. This is, again, before all of the hype with Nike SBs or right around that time. It's got popped colors. It's premium suede. It has history. All of that combined is a home run in my book. So if you're somebody who is aware of this colorway, wants a shoe that looks like this, and wants a piece of history or something that is revered within dunk culture, this is your time to do it on March 21st. How do you feel about Trophy Room? Do you feel like they are played out? Do you feel like the decisions and the shoes that they are coming out with have more to do with resale and less to do with the culture? Hit me up and let me know. @FireFootwearPod is the handle on Instagram. If you want to find Reels, TikTok, @FireFootwearPod. If you want to email the show, FireFootwearPod@gmail.com. Email me your questions or comments. I'd love to read them on the show and possibly use them to make content. If you are a Facebook user, Fire Footwear, a sneaker podcast is what you would search. If you want to find YouTube content related to this podcast, search Fire Footwear, a sneaker podcast with Matty Ice. And of course, support the Matty Ice Media Network, MattyIceMedia.com, for this, Iceman and Coach, Political Football, and more podcasts. Hope this finds everybody well, fam. I want to thank you again for your patience, and I hope this finds everybody safe. And I will talk to you next time. This is Fire Footwear. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on Fire Footwear are those of Matt Freights and his guests, and not necessarily those of the Matty Ice Media Network. Fire Footwear, a sneaker podcast, is exclusively owned by Matt Freights and is brought to you by the Matty Ice Media Network.